Welcome to the latest Talking Rugby Union podcast with me, Chris Hill. Something a little bit different from us today. And for regular listeners of the TRU podcast, you might remember that we did a podcast with Dodge Woodall, who is the founder and CEO of Bournemouth Sevens. We spoke to him back in February to see how kind of the last sort of 18 months, 20 months have been for him since the last Bournemouth Sevens Festival, which took place in 2019. Now, obviously, 2020 had to be postponed and cancelled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And he had scheduled his festival to take place in May Bank Holiday this year, but because of kind of the restrictions and the uncertainty around everything, it was pushed back to August Bank Holiday. And now we are only days away from Bournemouth Sevens taking place. And it's great to catch up with Dodge again to hear how preparations have gone and how excited he is for Bournemouth Sevens to return after, I think, a 27 or 28 month absence. So great to speak to Dodge once again. And also, during this podcast, we've been delighted to be working with VO currently. And VO are the ultimate sports camera that can film rugby matches without the need for a camera operator. We're doing bits and pieces for VO over the next few months or so, and more details about VO to come later in the podcast. The guys there work incredibly hard, and they'll be at Bournemouth Sevens as well, filming some of the great rugby sevens action and the touch rugby that'll be taking place across the bank holiday weekend. But that's all the admin done, I think, for this podcast. So sit back and enjoy our chat with Dodge Woodall as Bournemouth Sevens, the Sporting Glastonbury, returns this weekend. So hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Talking Rugby Union podcast with me, Chris Hill. I'm delighted to be joined once again by Roger Woodall, who is the founder and the CEO of the Bournemouth Sevens Festival, which is taking place this year over the August bank holiday weekend. And Dodge, welcome back to the podcast. We chatted way back in February when you guys were sort of planning for Bournemouth Sevens, and you were saying, well, it's going to be the August bank holiday this weekend, but now we're just days away from the festival returning. I mean, how much are you buzzing that the largest music and sport festival is back, and it's definitely going ahead?
Oh, mate, I can't tell you how excited I am. When you've been throwing parties all your life, you know, I've put on 1,500 events across the UK, and 14 festivals, and that's taken away from you. It's been taken away from me now for 27 months. I haven't thrown a party, I haven't brought people together, I haven't made people happy, smile, about people drinking and dancing. So, when Boris spoke, I spoke to you last, I think, February this year.
Yeah.
And we had to move our date from May bank holiday to August bank holiday. We're now August the 7th or 8th or 9th today, is it? Or 10th, I don't even know. But we're somewhere around there. And when Boris spoke about 3 weeks ago and said, right, we're going back to normal, festivals are on, literally we've gone, wow, we've got to find 800 staff in the next 40 days. So it's been full on at our HQ down here in Bournemouth. Yeah. But you know what? We're problem solvers, Chris. This is what we do. We know how to throw a great party. We know how to put on a wonderful tournament, and we know how to make people happy. And so there's lots of hoops to jump through, if I'm honest with you, mate. Probably the biggest one, I'd say, is finding 800 staff. Mm. You know, a lot of Europeans have moved back to Europe because of Brexit. You've got to find 200 security. You've got to find 200 bar staff. You've got to find 100 plus referees. 100 plus umpires, all the caterers, all the health and safety, police, it goes on and on and on. So, yeah, we are finding our way through it.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that stuck out to me last time when we spoke, Dodge, was you used the term, and it stuck with me really, actually. You said it's about having a limitless mindset. And I guess you guys have had that since sort of 2019. And as you say, there are 27 months in the making, this festival, well over 800 days. So as you say, there are hoops for you still to jump through, but you and your team have been jumping through hoops probably since the festival began, but certainly over the last sort of 28 months or so.
Yeah, well, you think about it, it's been going now, I've been working on this now for 4,000 days. Mm. You know, that's 14 years coming up, this is our 14th year. We lost last year. But, I can't, you know what? I can swear on here, but I cannot wait to put this festival on. You know, we've sold out 5 months in advance, 30,000 people, 400 teams coming in from every corner of the country, competing in rugby, netball, hockey, dodgeball and volleyball. We got wonderful headline acts, which we haven't announced. You know, our business model is very different, Chris. What we do is we sell out our festival and then we announce our lineup. You know, and that's quite a ballsy thing to do. But I identified it years ago that I don't want to just put a lineup up like most festivals and expect people to come to your festival because of a lineup. People come to our festival because of the atmosphere. You know, it's electric. You know, it's the like-minded people in the field together. So, yeah, mate, we're absolutely cannot wait. 100 DJs all booked. We're just trying to get as many bar staff together at the moment. We've got another 15 days, 16 days till we open the doors of the festival. Mm. We start our site build on Monday. It takes 2 weeks to build the whole festival site. If you imagine 67 acres of land turned into a festival site for people to camp and glamp and be in VIP and VVIP and the celebrities that come down and the TV crews that come down and the coverage we get nationally and internationally is huge these days. So, yeah, we literally can't wait now to get it on. You know, there's a lot of planning goes into a festival. I think people, you know, people who aren't in the events industry will look at a festival turn up and go, oh, this is great fun. But actually what goes into it, do you know what I mean? You live and breathe an event. Not only have you got to do the marketing, not only have you got to sell the tickets, not only have you got to plan, not only have you got to deal with the police and license and council and the fire brigade and the airport next door to us and all keeping all the local residents happy, you know. So there's lots of things to do, but boy, we love it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because this will probably go out, Dodge, the week of the festival. So by that time, those preparations that you mentioned there will be absolutely well on the way. But I guess, you know, when you talk about you've got to build the stages, make sure the venue's sorted, that is exactly what you've missed. And even though it is so much work for you guys, I guess you'll be maybe stood on the field smiling in a hard hat potentially when those stages are getting erected, because that's something that's been absolutely missed from your side.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I can't wait to be in that field. You know, when you see your dream, you've got to remember this is a dream of mine.
Yeah.
You know, I was selling my dream for the last 14 years. And when you've got a dream to put on a massive festival in a field, it starts to come true again. When you see all the 800 staff turning up to build your site, do you know what I mean? It ramps up as the weeks go on. And as we get closer and closer, then when you're putting up all the festival flags and all the colour, those finishing touches, that feeling cannot be beaten. Anyone out there, if you want to change industry or you're the next generation coming through, you will not beat the events industry. It's the most exciting, fun industry you could ever think of. Yeah. It really is. And putting that on, mate, seeing all the people turn up on the day, opening the doors, if I'm honest with you, the key to this festival is opening the doors. You know, we got given 40 odd days to put this festival on. That's not a long time, you know, and we're very lucky that we'd sold out and very lucky that we've had so much wonderful support from everyone who's coming to the festival. It's just a lovely vibe. But there's lots of, you know, you've got to remember that we haven't got any insurance. You know, Boris is, and the government have said, right, there's now insurance for festivals and events, but that starts on the 1st of September. Our festival is the end of August. Again, there's no insurance there. So most festival owners I know have just pulled their festivals and gone, no, it's too risky. I'm going ahead with it. You know, what I mean by insurance is the insurance companies won't insure a festival if the government, the night before a festival, says, we're cancelling you because there's a new virus come out. So that's the pressure that, you know, we're a family-owned business, myself and my wife, and that's the serious pressure. You know, people who don't come to the festival, say if it did get cancelled, it's not going to get cancelled. But I'm just letting people understand what goes on in the events industry, you know, as well as trying to get 800 staff, as well as dealing and juggling with everything that's going on. But you know what? I wouldn't change it for the world, Chris. Mm. I love it. I love pressure. But you know what? I'll be really happy on the Monday morning once everyone's left and it's been safe and everyone's had a wicked time and looking forward to next year. I've got to say.
Yeah,
it's been full on this past 15, 16 months.
Mm. And I guess when you talk about kind of that risk versus reward there, Dodge, that loyalty that festival goers are shown, but also kind of just looking at your website when I was prepping for this last week, that, you know, your partners, your sponsors, they've stuck by you and you've got those tickets, what we talked about last time on the podcast. that people going were like, "Now we're not going to ask for a refund. We're going to wait until August and we're going to enjoy it." But at the same time, which was a little bit annoying for me, but kind of 3 or 4 days after we recorded the one in February, it was kind of right. The festival's going ahead and the tickets again just seemed to fly through the door. And even when you were going on like the website last week, a red sign flashed up, said it sold out. So that loyalty aspect, not just from the people who are out to enjoy the event, Dodge, but everyone involved, it must be sort of not a safety net, but it gives you that more of a drive. So we're absolutely going to do it regardless of whether, you know, there is that risk there.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I totally agree with what you say there. You've got to remember that I'm a people's person. And I build relationships. And from day one, for me, it's about building relationships with all your suppliers. A lot of suppliers have gone bust, you know. Marquee companies, showers, toilets, fencing, Wi-Fi. DJs haven't worked for a year and a half. Bands haven't been together. The list just goes on and on and on. But it's about relationships. And we've kept wonderful relationships with all our suppliers and our contracts. And we've been very open with everyone. We've had huge support. We've supported them. We've sponsors who have stuck by us. Major international sponsors have stuck by us over the years, and especially this last year. So it goes to show that if you build relationships and there's a lot of honesty there and trust there, it goes a long way.
Yeah, and I think that probably filters down, doesn't it, to the people who are going to be, you know, partying away in the evening and, you know, playing their preferred sports on an afternoon, because they will probably have penned this in the diary, circled it a million times now, Dodge. This is a great way to see out the end of the summer. And you know, even with restrictions lifted, the crowds that are going to know, they're going to know exactly what to expect. And they know they're going to be in for a good time, regardless of kind of the roller coaster we've been through over the last
summer. Yeah, absolutely, mate. I think people are going to let off a lot of steam. Mm-hmm. People are going to be back together. If you haven't seen your rugby mates or netball friends or whoever, all of a sudden, this is the perfect time to get together and all come down to Bournemouth for a jolly for 3 days and party hard for 3 days and play sport and be happy and smile and dance and drink and wear fancy dress and have fun. You know, that's what we want, and that's what the nation's missed. We're a party nation. We're a nation that loves community, you know, and Bournemouth Sevens is a brilliant, brilliant community. It's a wonderful, everyone has a lot of respect for each other down there. And, mate, I'm chomping. I am chomping at the bit to get this festival on.
I can tell. The other thing, Dodger, is I wanted to mention as well, because I was at Anfield this weekend for a Liverpool pre-season friendly. We're being a Liverpool fan, and I noticed with me, TRU, following you on Instagram as well, Dodge, that you were at a local Bournemouth festival the other week, but you're also at the European Championships in the summer. Did that kind of give you a taste of getting back to normal, gathering crowds together, and obviously the off the pitch stuff we won't talk about, but that kind of atmosphere and getting people together, that give you a big taste of what is to come at Bournemouth? I know the European Championships is, you know, have that global audience, but I guess being around that environment of loads of people being in one place and enjoying themselves must have given you a bit of a taste for it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I spend a lot of time going to festivals. I love events, I love sporting occasions, I love traveling, you know, the British Lions abroad, or going to Wembley, or going to Twickenham, or going to the old Upton Park, or the Olympic Stadium, the London Stadium, or just experiencing European sport or sport in this country with a party. And I was lucky enough to go to the Euros final, which is a shame we lost, but yeah, that feeling of being around that amount of people, it's very different because it's football.
Yeah,
so it's a different mentality to you know, for the lovely crowd that we get down at Bournemouth Sevens, and that's probably one of the main reasons why we don't have football at our festival. And I'm very adamant, even though I'm a big football fan as well as a rugby fan, I definitely want to have football at our festival. But yeah, being around a lot of people, just seeing smiles on people's faces, and everyone needs it at the moment. Everyone needs it. Everyone feels a little bit lost. I've seen a lot of my friends come out of this pandemic not being the same person they were before they went into the pandemic. And you know what, if we can brighten everyone's life up and brighten everyone's weekend up by having a great jolly down in Bournemouth Sevens, that will really make me happy.
Yeah, and let's just move on to the rugby, Dodge, because I went on the website a couple of weeks ago and went on the competitions and click on rugby, and there's literally no slots left for any team, and that was what we are, we're on 10th of August. That was sort of like the middle of July when I looked at that Dodge. And I was thinking, wow, look, I think if I'm right, saying 168 teams or something like that. But it just seems, when you talk about there, that you're bringing people together, and you said it about 5 minutes ago, these players who are going to Bournemouth Sevens, elite competition, social competition, whatever it is, touch rugby competition, they probably haven't played with these players in that environment for how many years. And I guess you're buzzing for that kind of aspect. I know your passion for rugby, and you've got some great teams competing, but it's just everyone there is going to put on a great show in terms of the rugby sevens kind of
game. 100%. We've got 400 competing teams. We have 1,600 matches played over 2 days with over 200 referees and umpires. It's the most organised sporting occasion with so many people. And when you see groups of lads coming down in squads of 35, and you see groups of girls coming down for their netball in squads of 30s and 40s, you cannot beat that feeling of seeing them walking around with a spring in their step, being happy. And all I want to do is people to be happy, because we've had enough crap going on over the last 15, 16, 17 months. And again, there's so many tick points that I can go through of what makes me happy when I see people walk into that festival, or when I see people playing sport at the festival, when I see people having a beer halfway through or playing dodgeball and in fancy dress. And if you've never experienced it, you really are missing out. I'm not just saying that because I own the festival. I genuinely, I've been to most festivals around the UK. You won't get a better vibe and buzz than you do at Bournemouth Sevens. Truly, truly, I do believe that.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. It, that fun aspect and that buzz is an absolute key part of it, isn't it, Dodge? But just on the rugby thing, the standard's outstanding. You know, you've got pro teams flying in from all... I don't know how it works this year. Dodge might be able to give us a bit of an insight, but you've got pro teams flying in from all over the world, teams from all over the UK gathering down at Bournemouth. And as you said last time on the podcast, you know, you've got Ellis Genge's play the tournament a few years ago, all these big names. So, yes, it is so fun and it's so exciting, but it is an absolute platform, and it is an event in the calendar where these top teams go, no, we need to be at Bournemouth Sevens because this is where stars are born.
Yeah, well, there's about 180 teams competing,
right?
And rugby sells out so quickly, it's outrageous. But the standard on pitch one is the standard you'll see at Dubai Sevens main pitch. You know, you're talking like world-class standard. The players that play on that, our main pitch, is outstanding. But what's interesting over the years, what I've seen, if you're on pitch 9 or 10 or 11, social, the standard there's ridiculously high as well. You know, over the years, the whole standards have risen and risen and risen. And what I like about it is you'll get, because it is sevens rugby, you'll get a whole squad of 35 coming down. You'll have the big second rows and the props going, you know what, we're just getting the beers for the weekend. You look running around and playing. We're just going to have a jolly, just as a good excuse to get away from the missus.
But we'll pretend to be coaches on the sideline.
And yeah, exactly. There's loads of coaches there. Definitely tell their missus, I'm going on rugby tour. I'm coaching the boys.
And I'll just for a little bit of segment for our partners, VO, who we've linked up with on Talking Rugby Union. If you've never heard of VO, VO is the ultimate sports camera that can film rugby matches without the need for a camera operator. The camera uses two 4K lenses to capture the entire pitch in 180 degrees to make sure you don't miss a single moment. And some of the top clubs in the UK are using it, such as Richmond, who obviously ply their trade in the Championship. And a couple of the top Allianz Premier 15 sides of Wasps Ladies and Saracens Women's are also using VO's camera. National League side Rosden Park used the technology last season as well. But VO is not only for the elite, the technology is bridging the gap between grassroots and elite sport with state-of-the-art camera technology, making it easy and accessible for everyone to use so that every team, big or small, can watch themselves play, develop and level up. And the good thing about VO as well, it is portable. So wherever you are, traveling home and away, it's really, really easy to carry the equipment around and set it up wherever you're playing. And the camera attaches itself to a tripod, which means you can set it up anywhere, as I've just said, without the need for an internet or mains connection. And the best bit of all with linking up with VO is that Talking Rugby Union listeners will get £100 off the camera by using discount code TRU100 when they go to the checkout. So that's TRU100 for £100 off your very own VO camera. And to find out more, visit vo.co. That's vo.co. And we'll also be putting a link in the podcast bio. So you can find out a little bit more information about how you can get that discount through TRU4VO's excellent cameras and technology. And just to reason why we kind of linked VO into this as well is that VO will be at Bournemouth Sevens this weekend. They are filming the five pitches away from the main pitch. So if you are in action down at Bournemouth this weekend and you want to maybe watch yourself back in there and enjoy some of the highlights, VO will let you do that. So great to see VO down at Bournemouth Sevens this weekend, and we'll return to watch out with Dodge Woodall as Bournemouth Sevens continues to build up. And one other thing to note as well, Dodge, I'm correctly if I'm wrong with the sort of touch rugby, it looked like you opened up even more spaces for teams to compete. Is that right?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of rugby teams. So, you know, the rugby teams that have entered too late can't play, obviously, the rugby. So they join the dodgeball competition.
Right, okay.
You know, which is great because then the dodgeball, we've got these two wonderful big inflatable dodgeball courts that are played outside right next to the Danish beer garden. So for them, everyone's in fancy dress, drinking beers. There's no contact. It's just the right laugh. A lot of stag dudes come down to it. A lot of lads who are saying, oh, I've had a big season. I don't want to play any more contact. Let's just go and do dodgeball. Mm. So it's, for me personally, I'll come down and play dodgeball. You know, but, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, the thought of running around for two whole days with contact after a long season, you know, but you know what? These 18 to 30 odd year olds plus love it. And we also got a big 10s tournament.
That's
for over 35s, you know, and that's a really good tournament. They're people who have been around the block, have travelled around the world touring, and they're all now coming down Bournemouth Seven. So, yeah, it's great to see so many women at the festival. It really is. You know, it's like 65% women at our festival, and it's a wonderful thing to see. There's so much hockey being played and netball, as you know, and volleyball. So for us, it's about mass participation. Sport is key to our festival business model. And to have so many females come in and buying into the weekend and having a good crack with everyone, it's just a wonderful sight to see. It really is.
Yeah, and I hope as well, Dodge, these kind of events can help grow the sevens game. We know we saw at the Olympics sort of Team GB against all odds getting to bronze medal matches, but there just seems to be a lot of excitement around both the men's and women's teams, and I hope that kind of filters down into one of the leading tournaments on the amateur circuit as well.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I think it's such an exciting sport. You know, rugby as 15s is complicated to actually understand if you're coming over from a football background or a cricket background or a netball background. There's too many laws going on. If you've got a one big pitch and you've only got seven players on it and everyone's rapid, or they're rapid and they smash people, or they're rapid and they jump higher than anyone and faster than anyone, that's what you get to see for 7 minutes each way. So that's why it's the most exciting sport on the planet in my eyes, you know, ball sport. So I would love to see sevens go to a whole new level. I know it travels around the world. I would love to see some big prize money.
Yeah,
I'd love to see someone like Matchroom Sport or, you know, DAZN or someone to grab it and pump some serious cash behind it, like the IPL. Obviously, it'd be a shorter version than the IPL because of 1.3 billion people in India or whatever sort of numbers there are over there. But there's definitely something that someone could grab and do a big, you know, £1 million prize money. Then you go, all of a sudden, you go, well, this is tasty now. The nations will look at this. You know, that's where I believe the game should go. But there's lots of hurdles to jump over and hoops to jump through to make that happen. Because if you want the best players around the world, you've got to pay. You've either got to pay to get them out of their club contracts or their England contracts or their international contracts. But boy, that would make an unbelievable tournament.
Yeah. No £1 million prize money for the bank holiday weekend then, Dodge?
What did you say?
Just a couple of pints of Carlsberg in there and a decent evening, I think, to reward for winning the Sevens tournament. And just in terms of, just to wrap things up then, Dodge, you mentioned there, you're expecting, is it 30,000 overall for the event? And that's normally the figure you've been hitting the last few years.
Yeah, been sold out for 5 months solid. It's just one of those festivals that when people have experienced it for the first time, they want to come back. If they've been there 7 years on a trot, they want to come back. You know, it's one of those festivals, because we keep improving the entertainment and the feel and the vibe and more music everyone's listened to, and more festival arenas, whether it's a whether it's a big top dance tent or it's an 80s tent or it's a 90s or it's a VIP or a VVIP or it's all these different celebrities coming down. Like, you know, this year we've got Harry Redknapp and we've got loads of England boys coming down. We've got loads of British Lions and loads, you know, there's lots of celebs who just want to come down and have fun, you know, because the word spread very quickly around, obviously, our nation and the rugby playing and netball nations around the world, which are New Zealand, Australia's, Japan's, Hong Kong and Dubai's, and your France's, and then obviously the whole of the UK. So we've hit a really nice niche in the market, and mass participation sport is on the decline in our country. And it's a real shame. And I'm dreading to think what sort of numbers will be going back to rugby clubs since, you know, since we've had the pandemic, where these players might be in their mid-30s or 30s. They're only coming back to do another season because all their mates are. Now they've had a break for a year and a half. That might be their excuse to go, I'm retired now, I'm done, I'm out of here. Or it might be, geez, I've been stuck at home with the missus and kids for a year and a half. Get me back to my rugby club because I want to get back with my mates again. And I really hope it's the latter. Really do.
I think that's possibly what people will focus on for Bournemouth Sevens as well, Dodge. I do think people, as I said before, people have not played for a while. And this potentially could be a taste of, oh yeah, we're playing rugby again. I will go back down to my local rugby club. So it's these kind of tournaments which you guys put so much effort in, which actually can help maybe be a springboard for this season. And I think some players will probably take that mentality as well, which is going forward.
Yeah, it certainly does. It gives everyone that little spring and springing back in their step to play the sport again. And if you're playing in the sunshine,
yeah,
you know what I mean? If you're playing in the sunshine and the ball's dry, whether you're playing netball or whatever sport you're playing, volleyball, hockey, where it's not a better feeling than running around in the sun.
No.
Not a better feeling finishing running around in the sun, having a beer after.
It's a win-win, Dodge.
It's a win-win, mate. It's business and life is all about win-win, mate.
You mentioned a few of the celebrities, Harry Redknapp, obviously down there. Anyone you could, in the rugby world, you can reveal at this early stage you might be going down to get the rugby fans
looking. What date are we? Have the British Lions landed back yet?
No, I think that, well, they might be in Jersey or they might be wherever at the moment.
Yeah, I won't mention the names too early, but I know that a lot of the British Lion boys have been WhatsApps this last couple of weeks, especially after the third test again. God, we need a blowout, Dodge. Can we come down? Yeah, boys. Yeah. There's a free hotel. There's a free bar. Come and have some fun.
Yeah, brilliant. And is there anything else you can maybe reveal in terms of what's new this bank holiday weekend then, Dodge? Because I know when we talked in February, it was kind of you in the planning stages. You didn't want to give too much away. But is there anything you can maybe shed some light on for us over the next couple of weeks,
okay, which
people can get excited for?
When's this going out?
This will be possibly going out the week. Well, it's going to go out the week of the festival, so from the 23rd of August onwards. So,
okay, I'll give you an exclusive then. We've just signed Ella Eyre.
Very good.
Yeah, to be our headliner at the festival this year, and she's going to smash it. I'm very, very excited by what she's going to do perform.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, speaking to you the number of times that we do, Dodge, you are a very driven person, but are you even more determined to have gone the extra mile this time around because of what we've all been through? So getting people like Ella Eyre and you know, it's not about the headline acts as you mentioned, but doing all the little bits and pieces that you sent out in your 1 month ago email that I saw last month and all those new little bits and pieces you've got going. I guess it's just part of that extra drive and determination to keep making the festival even bigger and better, especially this year.
Mate, I'm always pushing boundaries. It doesn't matter whether there's been a pandemic or no pandemic. That's why we've got to year 14. Mm-hmm. You know, most businesses, 50% of businesses fail in the first 18 months. I think it's 3% get past 10 years. And there's a reason the ones that get past 10 years, because they're constantly improving their product and their brand, and they're making sure that their customer service is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's making sure that people get good value for money. And we tick all of those boxes. And, you know, it's a massive compliment to my team. You know, I've got a wonderful team. People have been with me for 11 years, 7 years, 6 years, 7 years, 5 years. It's not me, it's my team. It really is. And they're a wonderful bunch. And what they've gone through, I'm looking forward to doing a full podcast on what we've gone through personally as an industry and personally as a team. But we've stuck together, Chris. I gave them my word when Boris spoke on March the 23rd, 2020. There's a lot of events companies out there who made people redundant. Fair play. I don't understand their finances or whatever, but I gave my team my word that we're going to stick together and roll on 15, 16 months. We stuck together. We are like literally a few days away now for putting on our 14th Bournemouth Sevens Festival. And I've got huge respect for all of my team, huge respect. And they're not employees, they're friends. They're good people. They're people who I have respect for. And I only employ people who I respect. And it really is. It's the same as everyone coming to the festival. Please come with the respect that you've had for the last 14 years. You know, everyone's polite, you know, and you've got to remember that there's lots of new, you know, there's 200 bar staff who haven't worked behind a bar now for over a year.
Yeah.
Have respect for the bar staff. Have respect for the security. And, you know, to have that amount of people in the field partying, having fun, respect is key.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I should probably have mentioned, Dodge, when we were talking about loyalty at the start in terms of sponsors, partners, festival goers. It's your team. And I saw you kind of, I think it was on LinkedIn, that you kind of listed some of the key people there. And it shows just how much they have meant to you. And probably, they are probably thinking, well, Dodge just stuck to his word. You know, the organisers have stuck to the word. And that is an absolutely key to where you are now. Just days away.
Thank you, mate. Very kind words, mate. Loyalty. It's all about loyalty. It's all about respect.
Yeah.
And I'm a man of my word. And I've been that for many, many years. And that's all I can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Dodge. Well, just a couple more from me, Dodge. Is there anything that you want to include in this bit in terms of what festival goers need to do to be safe when they're there? I know, obviously, COVID-19 yeah. protocols. Is there anything they have to make sure they get done this week of the podcast going out with the festival a few days away? So they're there, yeah. they can get in swiftly, get the beers in, get playing sports, so they're not having to worry about anything else?
Yeah. Our last entry to the festival is 6 p.m.
Okay.
But due to everything happening and the testing and everything that's going on in the front of the festival, I would really highly recommend that people arrive a lot earlier than they normally do.
Okay.
Because the queues are going to be big. If you time it wrong, you could be queuing for over an hour. So I would just get into the festival, enjoy yourself and relax.
Great stuff. And if there's anything sort of on the Bournemouth Sevens website that people need to follow, we'll put it into the bio of this podcast as well, because there's probably key information that festival goers will need, is along with everything else, to make sure they get in swiftly. And as I said, they're going to enjoy it over the weekend.
All the information people need is, if you go to Bournemouth Sevens Instagram or go to Dodge Woodall Instagram, all the information is going up on our stories, and just keep an eye out there. But my biggest thing is arrive earlier, a lot earlier than you normally would do.
Yeah. I mean, I experienced it on field at the weekend. It took ages to get in, and these big events, make sure you get early, because it takes all that stress away and you can go enjoy yourself, like Dodge said. Well, Dodge, we're all chomping at the bit. You've made me excited for the bank holiday weekend now, and it's great to hear how buzzing you and the team are to have this festival. I know how hard you guys have worked to get to this point, so I reckon everybody's going to be looking forward to it. Fingers crossed. I mean, we're recording this at the start of August, and the weather's been shocking over the last couple of weeks. So by the bank holiday, sunshine, and everyone to enjoy themselves again.
Sun dances before bed. Naked sun dances before bed. That's what we want.
What an advert that is, Dodge. What a way to round off the podcast.
Well, Dodge, visualise that. Nice one, Chris.
An absolute pleasure chatting to you again, and all the best for the weekend as well.
Good man. Take care.
Cheers, Dodge.
Cheers, mate.